Networking and marketing made simple is for you, the business owner that has a product, service, or message that you truly believe in. My name is Scott Aaron, and each week we'll take a behind-the-scenes look at real-world networking and marketing tactics while leveraging LinkedIn to get what you have in front of many more people. Thanks for spending time with me, and let's get started. Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Networking and Marketing Made Simple. Super excited about today's episode. Well, number one, obviously, I know all you guys are always enthralled by the interview episodes that we push out every Thursday, getting exposure to all these other experts that maybe were not on your radar, but they are now. But also, the person who I have for you guys today, and you guys have heard me talk about this before, the 4 inches between your ears will either help you or it will either hurt you. And it's your choice which one of those is going to be. So we actually have a lot to dig into today, because getting clear on so many different things and making sure that you make the right decisions in what you're looking to do, both personally and professionally. Again, you want to be aligned with the right individuals. And again, who I have for you today is going to clarify all that and more. So with that, Jeanette Anderson, welcome to today's episode.
Awesome. Thank you very much, Scott. I am super excited to be here because you're fun.
Well, so are you. And, grateful to have you. So let's dive right in. And I always like starting off the episodes this way, just to kind of peel back the layers a little bit. So if Jeanette could go back in time and rewind the tape of her entrepreneurial journey and press stop at a specific moment that you really feel was that aha or that catalytic moment that really set you on the path that you're now currently on, what was that moment for you?
Oh, I can tell you very, very clearly. I was five. Literally 5 years old, I really wanted a book. I grew up with lots of chaos and drama and trauma and violence, and books were my refuge. I wanted the book Heidi, and I begged my mom over and over and over again. And the short version of the story is she finally turned around one day and yelled at me, "No, we can't afford it." And I was really shocked. I wasn't shocked by hearing that, because I heard that a lot. I was shocked by the look on her face. And I don't remember much of my childhood, Scott, but I remember looking and seeing shame and anger and frustration and sadness like I'd never seen before. And I swore I never wanted to see that look again. And even though I was only five, and I didn't frame it this way at that time, I'm sure, but I decided I wanted to figure out how to help people have a yes life, not a no life. And so I was like, okay, how do we do yes instead of no? And kids don't overcomplicate things like we do as adults. We complicate the shit out of stuff. It was like, no money? Fine, go get money. So I decided I was going to have a business, of our first business. And I hauled every day. One day, mom was at work, and I hauled everything I could out of the house. I swear I came out of the entrepreneur, out of the womb with a briefcase. And I was born entrepreneurial because I could count before I could talk. Anyway, I hauled everything out. I priced it because I had seen someone have a garage sale a couple of weeks before. And I priced everything, I sold it, and I was so proud when mom came home. I'm sure someone was supposed to be watching me, but I don't know. I don't know where they were. Anyways, I was so proud when she came home. I ran up and said, "Look, mom, $13.72. I remember to this day. I can't tell you what I had for lunch yesterday, but I can tell you how much money I made when I was that old. And I thought, problem, solution, right? But that's not quite how she saw it. I got spanked. She took my money. I didn't get the book. I had to go back and buy everything back. The kids wouldn't sell me my toys. So many people would say that's not a very successful first entrepreneurial venture. But I actually learned a lot. One, I learned that we can take our destiny into our own hands with business. Because had I, not been interfered with, I would have had the solution to the problem that I wanted to solve. Two, I learned don't go into business with the family. I'm kind of kidding, but not really. And I really did learn that this is a way to be able to have and say yes. Yes to what we want. Yes, who we want to be, what we want to do, and what we want to have. And so that was the first of many businesses. including I had a daycare when I was 11 and my first employee was 9, and all sorts of, like, basically I've been entrepreneurial my entire life since then. So that was the starting point, and that was the genesis of why it was so important to me and still is. I want people to get that they matter and live like they do. So I want them to have a yes life.
I love that. And, you know, I always tell people that, you know, I also have been psychologically unemployable since day one. Yeah. It's, you know, I've never worked for anybody but myself, and I wouldn't want it any other way. And you learn so much. So with, in respect to that, you know, the various different businesses that you've had, you know, from the age of 5 onward, if you could put your finger on one of the greatest lessons that you learned in being an entrepreneur that has allowed you to thrive in so many different businesses and help so many different people, what would that big lesson be for you?
Well, I think there's two parts of that I would say. One is framing. How we frame things makes a difference to everything. When we ask sucky questions, we get sucky answers. And so one of the favorite questions that I've ever asked myself in my life is, what would be fun and how do I get paid to do it? That typically leads to my new business or my new iteration of my business or a new client or something. So how we frame what we want to focus on really matters. And the second thing that I would say is, actually three things. One is, it really helps to know your why. If we don't know, human beings are meaning-making machines. And if we don't have a meaning that's pulling us forward or pushing us, then we make up crap in the meantime, and it doesn't actually serve us very well quite often. So having a clarity about our why or our purpose really does make it easier to get out of bed on those days that you don't want to get out of bed. So that would be the second thing I would say would be really important. And the third thing would be to constantly renew commitment, partially because of your why, and partially just because you're determined and you choose to be unstoppable. Because again, there are days when nothing works, days, weeks, months, in some cases years, where things just don't seem to flow or go well. But if we're really committed and unstoppable, then there's not much that can't be dealt with, overcome, or resolved.
No, I agree with all of that. And it's interesting, you know, obviously all the different iterations of experiences that we have and the lessons that we learned, and obviously the foundations that we learn from all those things that allow us to do different things. And, you know, the one big word that keeps populating in 2024 is the word pivot. You know, you see a lot of people pivoting, you see a lot of people moving in different directions, and you yourself obviously are not opposed to making pivots and trying different things. So talk to the audience a little bit about what you spent a lot of your time doing most recently, but your most recent pivot and how it came about.
Okay. Well, and I think, so my definition of your stand or your why is the intersection of what you're healing from the past and what you long for your future, for yourself and others. I think that why is consistent throughout our life. It's something, whether you call it your life lesson this time or what your purpose or whatever, I think it's a thread that weaves through the tapestry of our life. But how we express that changes over time. We can express it in our community, in our family, in our business. And it changes as we go through life. I've had 4 different iterations of my company. I'm now, as you say, pivoting or adjusting into kind of a 4th iteration of it and focusing right now on maturepreneurs. So those who are 55 plus and hashtag not done by a long shot. Why? Well, because I am. You know, as we shift, our demographic shifts and our focus shifts. You know, you buy a yellow Volkswagen, all you see is yellow Volkswagens. So you start to be the source of, you know, or the brunt of ageism. You start to notice, hey, that's a thing, and that shit's got to go. And so that's where my passion is shifting to, still working with entrepreneurs, still supporting them and growing their business, still really helping them define who they are and how to profit from living their purpose. But it's really focused now on those who are just too inspired to retire. So I think that the pivot that you see going on, I was talking to a lady in my community who's a numerologist. She said last year, you know, this year is the best year for entrepreneurs. It's an 8 year and there's all sorts of things around it that make it really worthwhile and abundant for entrepreneurs and everybody, but especially entrepreneurs, that we've been in a period of sowing seeds. And this is a time for harvest. What I saw is that going through the period of COVID, we went through a whole bunch of fear. We shrank, we constricted. We started to reimagine. Then we had that whole period where you didn't really have a lot to do except navel gaze. And you really did want to redefine, okay, well, what's important? What matters to me? Particularly if you were struck with challenges and losses during that period. And we redefined, who do I want to be? We re-looked at what matters to me and came back out. Then there was that whole period of trying to learn how to people again. And we're still in that awkward stage of like, how do we do this with one another again without it being some kind of shallow, weird, standoffy thing? And now that we've done that, rather than going back to who we're looking forward. Who do I want to be? What do I want to do? And so I think the pivot is more of a, let's start with a blank slate and what do I want to write on it? And 2024, I call it 2020 SOAR, actually. I name each year based on what I think the theme of it is. And I think that this is a year for people to decide, who do I want to be? What do I want to do? And what do I want to have, especially in terms of impact in the world? And then how do we do that? How do we bring in wind that supports our wings so that we can soar?
So something that my wife and I talk about often to really set people apart is credibility. And I love asking this question because I'm always interested as to what other people think and feel about credibility. So if you had to speak on or talk about a tool or a skill that really sets people apart credibility-wise, how would you answer that question?
What do I think sets people apart credibility-wise? Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like is there a tool or something that you really kind of land on or speak to that really helps people with their credibility to stand out?
Yeah, I actually have a formula I just made up for you. So I think that it's expertise, that to be credible, you actually have to have skills and a body of knowledge and some depth to your expertise where you can really support people in whatever that may be. Plus authenticity. People have really high BS detectors, especially now. And there is such a longing for just realness. Like there's so much mistrust of media and mistrust of one another's stories and mistrust of people in general, especially fomented by the, you know, political situations, that I think authenticity is like, there's this willingness to relax. And then you have to add in confidence. People can be competent and have people who are confident run circles around them. It annoys me. It pisses me off. I've had situations where I've been more competent than the other people in the room, but they make the sale because they're more confident. You need to have both. You have to have competence and confidence. Confidence is not arrogance. It's not the same thing. But if you don't show up with confidence, you're less credible. And so expertise plus authenticity plus confidence for me creates what I would call really grounded credibility.
You know, we were doing a workshop at the time that we're recording this. We just came off of doing a workshop and we talked about the need in being confident in what you do, mm-hmm. and your offer, how you serve and help people. People can smell a lack of confidence from a mile away.
Yes.
And if you want to work with people and you want them to work with you, people want to work with people that are confident in their offer, their products, their services, what they're putting out there. So before we start to wind down, and I know you have something really special to offer the audience, but before we get to that, if you had to give one tip to someone that's listening to this today that is really struggling with harnessing the power of their own confidence in what they're doing? What can that person do?
Confidence is not a fake it kind of thing. Confidence comes from us really owning and claiming the value we provide, not our intrinsic value as a human being. I think people collapse those two quite often, but the value that we provide. And one of the things that you need to do is get clear on what is that? So ask people, get testimonials, get case studies. And if you're starting out, you can still be clear on how you've supported people in the past. So come from that place of like genuineness. Here is the value I provide. And I also think the other thing that gives us confidence is when we are really, truly connected with our why, with our purpose, we know that no one else has that same exact flavor. I call it our note in the choir. And that makes us special. That makes us unique. And it makes us perhaps the only person that can be the difference to that other person in that moment. So really knowing your why and really being clear on the value that you provide will give you confidence.
I could not agree more. And just so people know, you know, as you grow and expand in your business, your why may change. And that's okay, because as you start doing bigger things, your why may get bigger and grow to new heights, because we're always looking to progress. We're always looking to move forward, and we don't ever want to stay the same. So I know you have a free class if people would like to take it. And anyone that I bring on here, I always advise them to really take the offers that people provide. So tell the audience a little bit about what you're offering them today.
So part of what I love to do is support people in clarifying their why they do what they do. And so I have a free training called The Genesis Story, How to Differentiate Yourself from the Hearts and Minds of Your Prospects. When you log in to bodacity.ca/genesis-story, you can download that for free. And it's got like a training module, templates, a guide book. It's got all sorts of information to help you walk through some steps to help you get clear on your why. And there is an offer in there for you to connect with me directly for a complimentary why session, which starting this year, as soon as we get the landing page done and up, is actually a $397 value. So you can do that for free as well. So please go ahead and grab that. It really helps you if you're a speaker, in your about us, in your bio, in your introductions, even just in your networking conversations, so you don't sound like everyone else. Use this as a way to differentiate you. My Heidi story is my Genesis story, and I can do that in one sentence, and I can do that over 20 minutes. And it lets people know, why do I care?
You know, why someone does something is a very powerful thing. Because I always tell people, they don't care about what you do or how you're doing it. They care about why you're doing it. That is most important. So Jeanette, as far as the free offering, which is so generous, and I really appreciate you sharing that, if someone was interested in finding out more deeply about how they can work with you in deeper capacities, what are the other offerings that you have, and how can someone best get in touch with you outside of the free course?
Thank you so much. I appreciate the generosity of providing people platforms for this. One is you can go to the Purpose and Profit Sisterhood Facebook community. That's where we support women who want to master the inner and outer game of business. You can reach out to me on bodacity.ca, bodacity.ca. And that is a real word. It's bold and audacious together. I didn't make it up. And so bodacity.ca or Jeanette@bodacity.ca. I would love to connect with you. And especially if you're looking for, how do I clarify that why so that I can stay in the game and differentiate myself? I love helping people figure out how to make money from their purpose.
I love that. All the information that Jeanette shared obviously will be in the show notes of this episode, but also the description of this episode and in the email that you received in order to listen to this episode. So you're not going to have to travel too far. So Jeanette, final question before we sign off today, what does success truly mean to you?
Another good deep one. Okay. The short version. When I get up in the morning, if I'm looking forward to my day, which is the case almost all of the time, I'm successful.
Mm, I love that. I couldn't, you know, my wife and I talk about it all the time that we're just so grateful to get to do what we get to do. You know, whenever we're having any sort of like first world problem moment, we kind of like check in with ourselves and say, what are we actually complaining about here? You know, we have opportunities to be doing what we're doing because of what we're doing. And I completely agree. You know, when you get to do what you love, you'll never work another day in your life. So I'm totally right. I'm right there with you. Jeanette, I just appreciate you so much for coming on here today and sharing your passion, sharing your purpose, and obviously the confidence behind everything that you're doing. It means a lot to me, and I know it means a lot to my audience, and I can't wait for them to dig into your free course and also obviously connect with you further if they're interested in learning more. So Jeanette, thank you again for being here today.
Thank you so much, Scott. And I really appreciate the fact that you've been doing this for 5 years. It takes a lot of character, heart, and stick-to-itness to do something like this so consistently. It obviously means you really care. So thank you.
I appreciate that. And I do. I look forward to every single one of my podcast episodes, whether it's myself or with me and my wife or people like you. It's just something that I really enjoy doing. And I don't think I'm ever going to stop. I've reached the halfway point to 1,000 episodes. So onward and upward from here. So again, thank you so much for being here. And for all the listeners, thank you again for always supporting this podcast. Your feedback and support means the world to me. So I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Love and gratitude. And I'll talk to you next time. Thank you so much for checking out today's episode. If you could, please support this podcast by hopping over to Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or any place that you're listening to this. Leave us a rating and review. Let us know what you loved most and what you would like to hear more of. But also, if you would like to learn how to take your business to the next level, whether it's using LinkedIn or working directly with myself and Nancy in our intimate group coaching programs, you can head over to www.thetimetogrow.com or scottaron.net to learn more. Thank you again for your support, love and gratitude, and I'll talk to you soon.